Would you open us up in prayer this morning? Please remain standing and turn to page number 14. Page number 14, 1-4, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Page number 14.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with the manger and manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, Charles. All right, today is going to be a super day. First on the agenda here, it's not on our deal here, but the first on agenda that we want to remind, we're going to have a baptism today, and our brother Asher is going to get baptized today. So we're looking forward to that. And the crew, well, what we're not looking, I was going to say we're also looking forward, but we're not looking forward, but we're going to congratulate the Krugs, Emily and Jennifer. This is their last Sunday, so be sure and shake their hand and whatnot. And we're going to miss, how many are you going to miss Emily? How many are you going to miss Jennifer? Oh, come on, raise your hands. No, I'm just kidding. No, we're going to miss you. We miss you very much and wish you a good trip. And what, Isaac, where are you at? Isaac, there you are. When is your last day, Isaac? This is Isaac's last. If I'd have known that, I'd have put you in the thing here. So how many are going to miss Isaac? How many are going to pray for Isaac? Praise God. Isaac's going to Dillon to college. But you'll be back. You'll be back. What, every month or every 3 weeks have your clothes washed? Or how's that work? Yeah, okay. All right. So anyway, so this the picture here, that's the pond out at camp. So I took that in the morning of, I don't know, 5:30 in the morning, something like that. It was beautiful out there. We had a great camp. And that was, what, 2 weeks, a week and a half ago and whatnot. And the next Sunday, August 26th, can you believe this? August 26th, I told Mrs. Sandra, I says, you know what? I thought the promotion Sunday was at the end of the month. It is at the end of the month. It's next week. So we'll have the promotion Sunday and the carnival. And then speaking of promotion Sunday, see the changes in Sunday school down there? Changes in Sunday school. So starting September 2nd, the first the month or next month, the junior high and senior high will be combined and be taught by Brother Charles and Mrs. Vicky. And then we're going to have a college and career class, ages 18 to 23. How many here are ages 18 to 23? Well, yeah, we got quite a few. Well, you'll have a college and career class. How many wish you were between the ages of 18 and 20? I would like to raise my hand, because maybe get rid of some of these aches and be able to, you know, a little bit more. But I'm glad I'm not between the ages of 18 and 23. For whatever reason. But anyways, there's going to be a college and career class, and that'll be really beneficial, and Brother Ryan and Mrs. Kayla will be teaching that on Sundays. However, the good news is college and career class are down here on Wednesday, so Wednesday evenings, and then the teens will be taught on Wednesday, since there's a lot of... Apparently, there's more teens come on Wednesday night than on Sunday morning. And so all four of them will teach the teenagers, whether it be junior high and senior high, both. So that's the change. And the change isn't set in stone. We're flexible here. I mean, because you don't know how the demographics change. And so they do change. You know, a couple more years, we might be flooded with a ton of junior high kids, and so we might split them up again. And, you know, it just, we adapt here. We adapt here. And then there's back to the schedule up here, and then ladies' retreat coming up pretty quick, less than a month now. And then September 17th through 25th, pastor will be out of town. I'll be at a fellowship meeting with my little brother, and... Yeah, it's a fellowship meeting. So that's what I'll be doing with my little brother. And pray for us, because we still don't get along. But that's okay. I can still whoop him too, even though he's, like I say, my little brother, he's bigger than us. How many seen my little brother? My little brother is about this high. Big guy. So, you know, when we were growing up, we had hand-me-ups. We didn't have hand-me-downs. We had hand-me-ups. So we were very fortunate. Anyways, and then information on ladies' retreat there, and we saw Emily and Jennifer and Isaac, and I guess that about rounds it up. Thanks for being here. We're looking for a great, great day. We have Pastor Kevin Byers here. He's going to start plant a church. He's called to plant a church in Astoria, Oregon. And we're looking for a good preaching service. Hey, you can't go wrong when you're being preached the Word of God, right? I mean, God wants to feed us, and we got to have... How many are hungry this morning? I'm hungry for the Word of God. All right, and we're glad Holly's here. Did you guys see Holly? She's all the way from Baston. Is that how you say that? Baston. She's going to be a couple more years there, going to get her PhD, and we're glad to have Holly back to Montana, where she belongs. And so, and then her mother, beautiful mother, Marlene. And then we have Mrs. Ballier all the way from France. What a diverse group this morning. And Jessica's dad's with us, and we want to welcome Jessica. And what's her first name again?
Kurt.
We're glad to have Kurt here. All right. Thank you again.
All right. Right before we have our next song, we're going to have a ladies' retreat testimony from Ms. Vicki.
So you've had the benefit of hearing from several different ladies, and they've said most of what I would say anyway. But I want to focus on, yes, we have great food, we have great fellowship, we have fun, we have skits and laugh a lot. If you're interested in skits, talk to me. And then it's always great preaching, as we would call it, and because the Lord has worked on the heart of the lady who's been laid on our pastor's wife to speak for the retreat already, and so God's already worked on her heart, and then God can use her to work in our lives as well. So, that being said, let's focus on the fellowship part of it, because sometimes we can get in this cycle at, we come on a Sunday morning, we say hi, we're like, how are you? And then we don't do anything with our sisters in Christ until the next week. And then it's in passing again. You've got work schedules, you've got kids sometimes trying to get them here and there. This is a time that we have set aside, ladies retreat. It's been mentioned that it's kind of a camp for adults. So we get to set aside all of the responsibilities that we have and just separate and get to know the other ladies. In Hebrews 10:25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Obviously, we need to be in church. But why not take this opportunity to be with other ladies and to encourage one another, exhort one another? In Proverbs 27, verse 17, it says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. It's a time to make friends and to get to know the ladies that are here at this church, and even ladies as far away as Idaho, they come and they join in, and it's just great to fellowship with other like-minded believers. So if you're on the fence about it, go sign up and come to Ladies Retreat this year.
All right, please join me and stand once again. Grab a hymnal, turn to page 151. 151, dwelling in Beulah land. Far away, the noise of strife upon my ear is falling. Page 151.
Far away, the noise of strife upon my ear is falling. Then I know the sins of earth beset on every hand. Doubt and fear and things of earth in vain to me are calling. None of these shall move me from Beulah land. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah land.
All right, we'll sing that second verse. When you reach the chorus, greet your neighbor with a handshake on the second.
Far below the storm of doubt upon the world is beating, sons of men in battle long the enemy with sin. Safe am I within the castle of God's word retreating. Nothing then can reach me, 'tis Beulah land.
as you find your place, join me in the last verse of page 151, dwelling in Beulah Land on the last. Ask a blessing on our offering.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for the Scripture store being open. I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for a job, Lord, to make money. I thank you for the energy. And I just pray for the offering now. Lord, I pray that it goes far. I pray you just bless it. In your name, Lord Jesus, I pray you just
bless it. Amen. God bless you this morning.
Silver and gold. Gold's about what, 11? 11's dropped again, 11.75 an ounce. Silver's about 15 and a half an ounce. Nonetheless, if it was stacked up here, means nothing. Nothing compared to Jesus Christ. Because we have nothing without Jesus. We have no eternal life. We have no hope without Jesus Christ. I pray that if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, maybe today you'd at the very least consider trusting Him to forgive you of your sins. There's nobody like Jesus to take care of us. He has never lied to us. And I have never regretted trusting Him as Savior. He's been awful good to me. We're going to have Brother Kevin come now and speak to us and see what God has for us. And we'll give God permission to speak to us this morning.
sir.
You know, if I ask that question, I've enjoyed getting to know your pastor and just his wife very briefly, and I enjoy your church. So praise the Lord for what God's doing here. We need churches like this all across America. We really do. Psalm 107, if you would please, in your Bible. Psalm 107. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. You believe that? Amen. God said, let there be light. And there was light. He just said it. He just said it. You know, God is truth. That God has never lied. The Bible says he's the God that cannot lie. Think about it. If God said, let there be light, what choice does the light have? It must be. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Do you believe that? God created a body, a soul, and a spirit right there when he did that. The body he formed with his hands, the spirit he breathed into him, the breath, that's the spirit of man, and man became a living soul. He made him perfect. He made him three parts. Had no sin. The man and his wife were, and it was the man and his wife, amen. She was a female, most beautiful woman in the whole world. She was the only woman in the whole world, but she was the most beautiful. God made him. God made man, male and female, created he them. You know, when you make something, you think it's yours, don't you? Isn't that so? If you make it, you ever seen a kid at the beach make a sandcastle? That's my sandcastle. They're using God's sand. But you make it, you think you own it, don't you? God created all things. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Bible says all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the light was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, the darkness comprehended it not. Who was that Word? If you look in your Bible, it's capital W-O-R-D, the Word. Capital. In verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten. The Bible says He was full of grace and truth. Who is that that was born? The only begotten. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that God became a man? Did you know that just like I put on this coat this morning, God put on flesh and was born of a woman? The seed of the woman. The seed of the woman, born, Mary, blessed art thou among women. Why did God become a man? Why did he do that? He's the creator God who created all things. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Why did he need a body? Why did he put on flesh? Why was he born in a stable? Why was he born poor, so poor that they didn't offer a lamb for him? They offered turtle doves. Why did he do that? Why did he walk with the meek and the lowly? Why did he do that? He came to die. He was taken at the hands of the Jews, who viciously handed him over to the Romans and demanded that the Romans crucify him. They beat him, they spit on him, they mocked him, they laughed. They pierced his side through after he was dead. They killed him, they murdered him. He was the God-man, all God and all man. Why did he do that? Well, God made two trees in the garden. He made two trees. He made the tree of life, and he also made the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They could eat of the tree of life all they wanted to. They could not eat of the tree of life. There was only one law in the whole world. How many laws do we have? Way too many. And they're making more this month. You couldn't probably fit in this room how many laws are in our country. The books. God had one law. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That's what God said. In the day. You like the little words in the Bible? They're important, aren't they? in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. In the day. You know what Adam and Eve did, don't you? They ate the fruit, didn't they? And what happened then? They died. When did they die? The Bible says in the day. I believe they died that moment that they ate the fruit. Oh, I know that Adam lived to be 900 years old and they had sons and daughters. I understand that and I know about that. But I mean God, when he made man, he made a body, a soul, and a spirit. And I believe the day that Adam ate that fruit, that his soul was dead. The Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sinneth, it shall be cut off. You know Jesus came to save your soul? Did you know that? He wants to save your soul. Why? Why does he need to save your soul? Because your soul is lost in sin. You know, when you sin against God, your soul is dead. It's cut off from God. That part of you that communicates with God, that part is cut off and you have no communication with God. And because of a dead soul, what happens to somebody when their soul is dead? You know death means separation. Did you know that? And the soul was separated from God that day. Remember the voice of the Lord? Adam, where art thou? I heard the voice, and I was afraid, and I hid myself. Why? Because his soul was dead. He had no part with God. You know, Adam didn't say, let's go find the Lord. The Lord said, let's go find Adam. Huh? Didn't he say that? The Lord came down looking for Adam. The Lord was looking for you. Jesus came. He became a man. God became a man in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He put on flesh. He died. You know the Bible says this, for the wages of sin is death. Do you know that? For the wages of sin is death. If you die, if you sin, you deserve to die. You say, well, what's sin? Start with the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Have you ever put anything in front of God? Come on now. Have you not? Doesn't it say in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not bear a false witness against thy neighbor? That's lying. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. And on and on and on they go. And every single person in this room has broken those laws. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus said, if you look on a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart. Every single person in this room has sinned against God and therefore been cut off from God and therefore has a soul that needs to be saved. Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you know where the Father is? Where is he? He said, behold, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He said he went to be with the Father. Where is the Father? Oh, he's in heaven. Where is Jesus? On the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high. That's where Jesus is. He's in heaven. God is in heaven. And Jesus said, I prepared a place for you. He wants everybody to go to heaven. But he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you believe that? Is that true? Is he really the only way, or is he one of the good ways? What about Muhammad? He thinks he knows the way. What about Buddha? He says you can reach enlightenment. What about the Church of Latter-day Saints, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? They say if you get married in the temple and get married in the temple, you can have spiritual babies through all eternity. Is that the way? What about the Catholic Church? They say if you follow the sacraments and you go through the Holy See, who's right? Jesus is the only way. He's the only way to be saved. How do you get saved? Well, you have to recognize that you're a sinner. You have to know that you've broken God's law. How many of you would be honest enough this morning to say, I've done that, I've broken God's law? Good, I'm glad you're honest. So that means you need to be saved. And how do you get saved? Well, you have to, first of all, admit that you're a sinner. Otherwise, why would you need to be saved? You need to recognize that sin is against God. And you'd have to repent of that. In other words, you'd have to say, my sin and following my life is not going to save me. I'm going to have to turn to something else. And who can you turn to? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You turn to Jesus Christ. Remember that verse? We said, for the wages of sin is death. You know what happened to Jesus? He died. The wages of sin is death. What happened to Jesus? He died. The wages of sin is death. Jesus died. What sin did Jesus have? What grounds did they have to allow him to die? Well, he had sin. He had a lot of sin when he died. But it wasn't his. It was yours. And it was mine. It was our sin that he took. The Bible says he took upon him the sin of the world. He took on our sin. And all we have to do to be saved is found in John 3:16. The gospel of Jesus Christ in a nutshell. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the whole gospel of the whole Bible, in one verse. Do you know it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's how you get saved. Turn from your sin and turn to Jesus. Put your faith in him. Not in your church. Did you hear that? Not in your church. Not, well, preacher, I've been baptized. I'm a member of this church. Well, that's nice. Are you saved? Are you saved? Have you trusted in Jesus? That's the gospel. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many of you know somebody? And I would think that everybody here knows what I just said. I don't think I presented any new information. I don't think I just quoted any verse that you probably haven't heard. How many of you know somebody that you wish had been here to hear that? Do you know somebody? Isn't that the gospel? Isn't that what they need? How shall they hear without a preacher? Turn to Psalm 107, and would you stand together with me, please, if you're able to, just for a moment. In Psalm 107, we love the Word of God. We respect the Word of God. Psalm 107 and verse 23. The Bible says, they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. The Bible says, they that go down to the sea in ships, in verse 23, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come before you as a needy people. The pastor has already mentioned, Lord, how that we want to hear from God today. And I pray, Lord, that you'd make it so. Lord, just a human being, just a sinner saved by grace, but you did save me. I pray that you touch my lips today. Give me the message for this time right now, I pray. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to every heart. Lord, would you meet with us? We need you. America needs you. Lord, if there's someone who's not saved, please don't let them die and go to hell. Please don't let them pay for their sin when you've already paid for it. And I pray that you'd speak to hearts today. Lord, help us to be serious about the work that we do for the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated as we've read this Psalm 107. They that go down to the sea in ships. You know, I'm not a fisherman, but I do like to catch fish. Do we have any fishermen? I talked to somebody that did some fly fishing just a little bit ago. Who was that? You folks were out fly fishing. And, you know, this is a good place to fish. I'm not a fisherman, I wouldn't say, but I do like to catch fish when I can. There's a lot of ways people make a living by the sea. And they could be in cargo, they could be in transportation of passengers, but they may be into fishing. And you could certainly go down to the sea in a ship, in a fishing ship, and you can catch fish that way. Can I say to you that someone who would go down to the sea in ships, That would be someone who has made preparation. Would you agree with that? I mean, anybody can go down and get a fishing pole real quick and run down to the water, but how about if you've got a ship? You've made some preparation. We're talking here in Psalm 107 about people who've made preparation. And can I say this? It's worth the effort to invest in something. If you're going to do it right. Amen. I mean, go ahead and go. My son wears a shirt all the time. It says, go hard or go home. And that's just the kind of guy he is. More investment means more return, doesn't it? The more normally, if you do it right, the more that you put into it, the more you get out of it. That's the law of reaping and sowing. The ship indicates that you're serious. It means that you're serious. You know, the Bible said in Luke 9:62 that no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, I mean, once you've started on this road, you just stay on this road and you just go. You don't look back. There's no looking back to say, well, maybe Muhammad did have a point there. No, he doesn't have any point. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's the only one that can save you. So you don't look back. You know that Jesus said this, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Didn't he say that? And he showed those fishermen, those disciples, how to catch fish. And he told the disciples at one point, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And remember, they caught that big, big pile of fish. Remember, their nets break. Remember that? When he said, follow me and I'll make you to become fishers of men. These were men who knew how to catch fish, but not the way Jesus did. Jesus was the best fisherman to ever live, amen? I mean, he brought them in. And then they left their nets and they followed Jesus. And what happened on the day of Pentecost? 5,000. 5,000 that they caught, didn't they? Over. At another place, 3,000. So he taught them how to be fishers of men. The Bible says they that go down to the sea in ships. These are people that have made preparation. And can I say this? They have a purpose as well, don't they? Yes, they've made preparation, but there's a purpose. You know, they don't have that ship just to lose money, but they have something that they want to do. You know, they do business in great waters, the Bible says in verse 23. They do business in great waters. You remember Jesus was about 12 years old or so when his mother and father left him 3 days and had to go back for him, and they found him, didn't they? And remember what he told them when they found him? How is it that you sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Did you know your father has a business? It would behoove us to get into that business. It's a good business. In fact, it's the best business. So what kind of business is that? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's your father's business. Are you in on it? The Bible says they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, it says these see the works of the Lord. Would you like to see the works of the Lord? Has the Lord done some wonderful works? Would you like to see God do a work? I believe we're living in a day where it is so dry, spiritually speaking. I believe we're living in a day where we're so far removed from anything resembling a true, honest-to-goodness revival that we don't even know what we're missing. If you know anything about dehydration, have you ever seen somebody pass out from dehydration? I have, many times. I mean, just fall out. Have you ever seen that? I mean, they've just gone without a drink for so long, they've needed water so long, and they just pass out. And you might ask yourself, well, why didn't they get a drink? I mean, you know, just go and get a drink. You know, when it comes to dehydration, you can get so dehydrated that you don't even recognize. Boy, my head's kind of hurting. I'm feeling kind of funny. Things are getting kind of woozy. You need a drink, man. You need a drink. You need some water. I believe in our country, we're so dry from the real spiritual blessings. We think the financial blessings are the blessing of God. Don't we think that? God must be blessing America. I mean, after all, the economy's doing well. Folks, listen, your fat wallet is not necessarily a blessing from God. You know, the devil can give you those things too, can he not? We need revival. We need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. We need to be sorrowful that people are dying and going to hell. We need to get serious about the business, and we need to see the power of God again. I give you some examples of people who wanted the power of God. Think about Moses and how he talked with God. You remember there was a mountain there and no one else could touch the mountain? In fact, if they even touched the mountain, they would die. But Moses was on the mountain, wasn't he? And Moses was talking with the Lord on the mountain. Remember he came back down? Remember about his face? He came back down out of that mountain and his face shone so white that the people said, put a veil on your face. We can't even stand to look at the brightness of your face. What happened? He was communicating with God. And he got so much holiness on him that his face literally shone bright that people couldn't look at Moses, much less look at God. They couldn't even touch the mountain that Moses was on. You know what Moses said to the Lord one time? He said, Lord, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Have you ever read that? Show me thy glory. That's what he said to God. He's already the closest person to God on the planet. He's already as close to God as anybody could get, and he just hasn't had enough yet. Let me ask you something. Think about it. Have you had enough yet? Have you seen enough of God? Can you say, well, I'm satisfied. I don't need to see any more. Or do you believe that God can do more than what he's done in your life? Do you believe? Do you really believe that there was a place called Nineveh? The place was wretched, wicked. And a sorry prophet rode into town. Heart wasn't even in it. God turned that whole city around and they repent in sackcloth and ashes. They repented. You believe God can do that? America is an exceedingly wicked place. If that ruffles your feathers, that's just kind of too bad. Listen, I served in the United States Air Force, and I've earned a right to say what I'm going to say. America is a wicked, wicked country. Somebody better say amen. Somebody better say, God, forgive us. Somebody better quit waving their flag and being so proud. Somebody better get down on their face and say, God, don't destroy us as we deserve. I say this, think about it. Hitler only killed 6 million Jews. We've killed more than 30 million babies. Come on now. Is he a just God? Does he hate that? Don't we need to see? Don't we need to see a revival in the spirit of the old-time revivalists? Don't we need to see God come through? Don't we need to see a move to holiness? Don't we need to see people coming forward in the altars and people that have been in church for years and years falling on their face and saying, God, save me lest I fall into hell? Don't we need to see God? Or have we come to the place where, well, that was in the Bible, but this is now? No. Look again. Look. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. You know what happens? They get out in the ship and they get out where they can't even see land. Have you ever done that before? Have you ever been out so far you can't even see land? It's an amazing feeling to get out there. And you know, when you get out there and you're that far out, if something happens, if there are waves, if there is a wind, there's no one there to help you. And we live in the day of modern shipping, but put yourself back in the day when this psalm was written and put yourself in the day of Jonah, for example. I mean, GPS was not even thought of. And they're out there in these old wooden sailing vessels and the waves come and the winds come. They see God's power. We build our big cities and we move into the big city and we look at the city. Our eyes are so focused on the steel and the concrete and we say, look at man. Look at what man has done. Remember Nebuchadnezzar, he went out and said, is not this great Babylon which I have built? So focused on himself. Didn't it make that big image? Fall down and worship this. Nebuchadnezzar should have looked at nature. He should have looked to the heavens. He should have looked to the ocean. He should have looked out to say, there's a big God, and I'm so very, very, very small. And as David was out in the wilderness with those sheep, and he looked up and he said, when I consider the stars and thy handiwork, he says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? I'm so puny. I'm so small. Why does God even think about me? They that go down to the sea in ships, they get out over their head, past land, they can't see anything, and their attention is focused to the Creator of heaven and earth. You follow what I'm saying? Does that make sense? They get out there where they can see, and then when they get into a look at the storm that's described. It says they see the works of the Lord, for, verse 25, for he commandeth and raiseth a stormy wind which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Maybe today God needs to melt your soul. Maybe today if you're not saved, or maybe you are saved, but maybe you're in a place where you've put too much confidence, and any is too much. You put too much confidence in you and your plan and what you're going to do and how you're going to get to heaven, or how you're going to make your ministry grow, or how you're going to fix your marriage, or how you're going to, and you're not going to do anything. Because the Bible says, for it's in him that we live and we move and we have our being. The God in whose hand thy breath is, God hands you your breath. You're not going to do anything. But these that go down to the sea in ships, they get out there so far and they see these storms and they're reminded there is a God. And he is real. He is the Creator. And he's the only one that'll get me out of this mess. That's a good place to be in this morning. When you recognize that, they reel to and fro, stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. And then they cry unto the Lord. They see the power of God. Jonah saw that power when he was out in that ship. The Bible says the men cried out unto their gods, grown men crying. When I was in Germany, I had a chance to go and sail. And I got on one of these little sailing boats. Somebody taught me how to sail. I took my wife out there to sail. And I said, honey, I learned how to do this. I said, you just sit there and look pretty, and I'll show you what I've learned about sailing. And we got out there just having a great time, you know, and I'm tacking and sailing. I thought it was the greatest thing. And out of nowhere comes this gale. I mean a gale. I looked across the lake, and sails were dipping all across the lake. I mean, sails were just, they all went down. And I was trying to hang on to this rudder and hang on to this little sailboat, maybe a 10, 15-foot little, they call it a yoli. I don't know what you call it, a dinghy maybe. And we filled a bunch of water in our boat. And I said, well, we got to get moving because this water's got to get out of our boat. We got to get moving. And I tried to straighten out and sail more toward the wind. And another gale came up. I had forgotten that in our sailing class, we were part of a team, and we were switching sides every time that we tacked. You know, we were switching sides to keep that boat level. I had forgotten that part, and I just told my wife, you just stay there and look pretty, and that's what she did. And then I got catapulted over the top of her when that wind came up, and I mean, I just launched right over the top of her, and here we are out in this lake, and our boat's on side. And then the sail goes upside down. It capsizes completely. We're just bobbing up and down in the water, looking real dumb out there. The Wasserwacht had to come and rescue us. They towed us back to the dock. It was just a little gale, folks. That's all it was. It wasn't a great, mighty storm. It was just a little blast of wind, just a little gust. And we went down. I had never forgotten that. And I realized that there is power out there. The ocean is so powerful. The wind is so powerful. God's power is awesome. And by the way, that's just a little, tiny, little smattering of the power of God. God can come into your family and fix everything. God can come into your church and fix everything. He can come into our country, and he says he'll heal our land. He'll hear from heaven and heal our land. He can do that. But we got to have to hunger after it and thirst after it. We're going to have to say, I want to see that. They make preparation if they're in a ship. They have a purpose and they see the power of God. I don't think we've seen anything yet. I don't think we've yet seen what God's capable of if we would just want it and get out into the deep. But then they see in verse 28 and 29 that they experience the peace of God. The Bible says they be still. And then in verse 30 it says this, then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. There's nothing like pulling into port. Nothing like, I was glad to be on that dock. Nothing like coming into port after a rough sailing time. You know, one of these days we're going to get break time. One of these days it's going to be time to quit. One of these days, but it's not today. It's not today. Jesus said, occupy till I come. They experience the peace and they reach their port. Only by leaving the comfort of the shore can we expect to see God's full power. It's nice on the shore, but if you want to see something serious, you're going to have to get out there where it's deep. More to the point, I don't know what God has called you to do in your life, but mark it down, God has called you to do something. And you could throw a line at it from the shore, or you can get committed to the thing, and you can get you a ship, and you can get out where you're not comfortable anymore into an area of life. I don't know, maybe you've thought about taking a Sunday school class, and there's a need there, but you're just a little too shy to get out over your head. Get out over your head. Maybe you've been given to missions, and maybe you've been throwing a few dollars at that thing, but God's been dealing with your heart about, America just needs it so badly. It just needs it. And maybe you make a decision and say, I'm tired of just throwing a few dollars at this thing. I want to get out where I'm a little bit uncomfortable. I want to get out and really try God to do something great. I don't know how the Lord would use this in your heart, but can I challenge you today? God is great, and if you want to see the power, you're going to have to launch out into the deep. Heavenly Father, would you please help us today to do what only you can do in our hearts. Lord, I believe that you can send revival to America, and I believe that if we would repent, Lord, that you would turn from what you intend to do to our country, and I pray that you'd save it before it's too late. I pray that you'd help each one of us to do everything that we can to launch out into the deep, to see your power, see what you want to do in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Pastor McCurdy.
God spoke to you this morning. Feel free to come to the platform. Maybe some of us will pray for our country this morning. Maybe some of us pray that God help us be more faithful to step out. We know God's good. We know God's good beyond our wildest imaginations. We're going to have a baptism here this morning. Maybe the Lord's speaking to you about baptism after being saved, and maybe join this church you can serve out of. Whatever the case may be, won't you come this morning and ask the Lord to deal with us?
What song are we singing?
375 this morning, 375. stand up here. Yes. So baptism, a couple things go on during baptism. Baptism, once again, is a picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a picture of salvation, how Jesus Christ died, how he was buried, and yea, how he rose again. Acts chapter 2:41 says, "And they that gladly received his word were baptized and were added unto his church." Added unto the church. That was the church in Jerusalem, a local visible church in Jerusalem. This here is a local visible church on the corner of Green Meadow and Sierra in Heller, Montana. And so when Asher decided to get baptized, he wants to tell the world, he wants to show each and every one of you what happened, what he believes inside by showing what on the outside that he's going to get baptized. But at this, by the same token, he's also wants admittance into the membership of Liberty Baptist Church. And so before we baptize Mr. Asher here, we're going to ask you, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? You've asked him to forgive you of your sin, and you put your faith in him?
Yes, sir.
You've heard his testimony. How many here, by the members, by the lifted hand, say, yes, we would like to have Asher join our membership?
Amen.
Most. So we're gonna baptize Asher. And so we're going to get ready for that. We've got the kids coming in. And we'll go inside there. And I'll change too. It'll take us about, well, we're guys, it'll take us 3 minutes.
All right, so while they're getting ready, we'll go ahead and sing a song. You may remain seated and just grab a hymnal, turn to page 392. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, page 392.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins.
Shortly.